Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave Solomon. Always a pleasure to hear that voice. And usually you hear the intro music just about this time from Daoud Said. But we're going to dispense with that today because our guest is front and center and kicking off the show, and it's a pleasure. I have not spoken to this gentleman since 2011. Yes, when Songs from the Chateau first came out, and he was a guest on Cool Jazz Conversations with Joy Hall. And now, this is a really wondrous year for this stellar artist. I'm so excited for him. I really am. I have loved his work since he dropped his CD a few years ago, gosh, going back now to, 2004 or so, Paris Blue. Even before then, of course, I knew about the many things he was dabbling into, and the soundtrack work alone is worth mentioning. He is multifaceted, multi-layered. He's one of those consummate artists that you never know quite what to expect because he allows the tapestry of whatever surrounds him to really envelop him, and it comes out through that amazing bass. Bassist, composer, producer, and a wonderful human being, Kyle Eastwood. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, how you doing, Trish?
I am really good now, really good to speak with you because I'm excited for you. This is a big year for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I've got no complaints. it's been going well, yeah.
Well, good. And you're about to do a tour. I'm really glad I was able to catch you before the tour because there's a lot of dates involved, and one of those dates surrounds Bethesda Blues and Jazz, which is a hoot and a holler down the street from us here in Baltimore. So we're glad to have you.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, it'll be my first time playing there, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's a reconverted movie theater, Kyle, so you're going to feel right at home.
Okay.
And you're going to have the stage, and there's actually seating in front so that people can have dinner or snacks, and then the overflow crowd goes to regular theater-style seats in the back, so everybody has a wonderful view of you.
Oh, great. Well, I'm really looking forward to it.
Good. So, look, I have to tell you right from jump, please tell Ron Moss a message from me. Ron has been absolutely phenomenal in making sure you had this interview time today, and he must have thought that I was asking for a taste of the new soundtrack that you've been working on. Tell him that is not the case.
Okay. I will do so.
Please do, because
I will pass it along.
He got miffed at me thinking, she's really got some nerve asking. I would never ask. I was thinking that maybe you had something that you wanted to share in the way of Kyle Eastwood music. But I have so many tracks now, I can't decide what I'm going to play. But you tell me, how do you think, and this is a question that's going to throw you for a loop, how do you think the state of jazz is and the state of Kyle Eastwood music is? What is it that makes you happy about hearing the genre these days and about what you're doing?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, there's a lot of great players out there, you know, in Europe, and I've lived most of the time, quite a bit of the year in Europe and in the U.S. both. There's a lot of great young musicians around and making great music, and I'm very happy with the band that I've been playing with. A lot of the members that I play with in Europe, I've been playing with for about 6-7 years or so, and then the musicians that I'm playing with in the U.S. are guys that I've been playing with and known for quite a few years. So I'm really happy with the way the music's come along and the way that the music's developed over the last 5 or 6 years.
I am too. This morning I was delving into Kyle Eastwood land, playing different tracks from different CDs through the years, and I went from Paris Blue into Songs from the Chateau into The View from Here, and you seem to be, first of all, you're very generous with the way that you allow the interplay of other musicians. You really love that, and I can tell. And it's because you were playing since you were a little kid, so the bass is second nature to you. But I was hearing, Kyle, how much you have allowed these world influences to come into your music. You sound different than anybody I know, and that's a big compliment.
Oh, that's very nice of you to say that. Thank you. But, I've always loved all different kinds of music. You know, and jazz is definitely my first love. But I grew up listening to anything and everything, and I still do. So, and I think living in Europe for about the last 6-7 years has definitely influenced in the music, some of the music I listen to, and influenced the music that I write. So I think I love jazz, but all the influences of other kinds of music and film music and all those things all kind of come through in what I write.
Well, here's the interesting thing about you, because there are some musicians who play instrumental music who have been under the umbrella of jazz, for lack of a better phraseology, but you have allowed yourself to be immersed in other cultures. I know that you are living in France a lot of the time, so there is an array of North African and Middle Eastern music there, and I hear that so clearly. There are other musicians who are considered jazz, et cetera, who feel as though they cannot stray from a certain kind of jazz. And I know there's probably been a lot of lively discussions in your home through the years about what jazz is, but you have opened up to allow that to pour in, and the difference is so intoxicating. It's as though...
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, my God.
Well, I certainly am not closed-minded to a lot of different styles of music and things, and there's a lot of discussion about just, is it really jazz if you're incorporating other styles or other genres of music, but I think jazz was initially sort of born of that, born of a mixture of African and European music. So it was
correct.
I think if it's done any kind of blending of music, I think if it's done musically and tastefully and soulfully, hopefully it will work out and be valid.
Well. I don't have to tell you about the jazz snobs, Kyle.
I'm definitely not a jazz snob. I mean, I can appreciate the jazz snobbery sometimes, but I'm definitely not. Definitely, that's not me.
Now, I have to ask you this. Do you think, and I love the fact that your maternal grandmother was a teacher of music at Northwestern University. Were you allowed into that world? Did you see how that was going to be conducive to your life? Because I love that. Sometimes we have to think it's in the blood, right? I mean, why is it that we're consumed with some passions? We feel as though when we're little kids we want to do something so strongly. Why is that? Does it come out of the blue? Is it in the gene line? What do you think?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think it helps to be, exposed to the music a lot, and exposed to music in general at an early age, and have your parents be very, play or be very passionate about, avid music listeners. So I think that definitely helps, and I grew up, the music was sort of jazz was the music of choice, around my parents' house with me growing up. So that was mainly what I heard, and then, jazz and blues, and maybe the odd, Johnny Cash record or something, here and there. I was definitely sort of immersed in that music, at a pretty young age, so a lot. And that's sort of the first music that I remember going and hearing live.
And that brings me, of course, to the next question. Did you have a memory as a little guy going to the Monterey Jazz Festival all the time? Do you have a moment of clarity where a particular artist stood out and you thought, I think
Yeah, definitely. I was very fortunate to see a lot of people over the years there.
Yeah.
many great musicians. Unfortunately, a lot of whom aren't with us anymore. But I think the very first time I remember going to the Monterey Jazz Festival, I think it was about 77, 1977 or 76 maybe, and my father took me out, and it was the Count Basie big band we saw. So I remember being very impressed. You know, and this was when Count Basie was still alive and playing with the band, and so I remember being very impressed by that, you know, and sort of the swing and the power of that big band was. I think that kind of it gave me an idea that maybe I might want to learn to play an instrument, be proficient on an instrument.
And not only that, but it must have made a lasting impression because you are quite adept at being the leader of your own group. You know how to. It just seems to be so seamless, listening to the view from here, the effortlessness of one instrument in juxtaposition to another. It just seems like this combination. And here's the way I'm viewing it. With each track, there's a different method of transportation. Some songs take me on a boat. Some songs take me on a bicycle. Some are on a cruise ship, and some are via plane. You are able to put together the artistry around you, and it seems like it's a piece of cake, but it can't be because...
I'm glad it seems to have worked out that way. But, there's a lot of people, I hear that a lot, that people say that, it's very visual kind of music, or that maybe that comes from you know, doing film scores and stuff like that. But thank you. That's a very nice compliment. I'm glad it takes you somewhere on some mode of transportation.
let me tell folks right now, if they're listening live or if they're going to be listening in the archives, if you can't go someplace in your head listening to a Kyle Eastwood song, you're not thinking. or worse, you're not dreaming, because honestly, in the immortal words of Jim Stafford back in the day, this is truly like taking a trip and never leaving the farm, Kyle.
Well, thank you, Jim.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Is it true that you were already doing acoustic bass, but when you got to high school, you just gravitated to learning electric bass and finding tunes of a Motown and reggae nature by ear? Was it like that?
When I initially started playing bass, that's kind of what I was teaching myself a bit, and then I kind of actually gravitated more towards acoustic bass and did that for kind of exclusively for a few years, and then I kind of moved back to splitting my time between acoustic and electric bass. But I studied piano a bit, for a few years when I was young, and then I kind of picked up the bass, by accident, and it kind of came naturally to me. And I had a lot of friends who were musicians, but they were all guitar players or drummers or maybe a couple of horn players here and there. But they were always looking for someone to play bass, so I picked it up and took the job.
You sure did, and you've been doing quite a job ever since. The other day, I went to a Baltimore Jazz Alliance meeting, and I was traveling with a gentleman who actually grew up in Carmel. And his name is Ian, and Ian, I suspect, is about 36, 37 or so. So I said to him, "You must have been immersed in a music scene there." And he said, "No, not really. I couldn't wait to get out."
the Monterey Festival is there once a year, so that's kind of a big event. But it's pretty slow. It's a beautiful place to grow up, but it's a little slow. So yeah, I definitely took off when I got out of high school. But I get back regularly because my parents still live there and have family in the area. But it's a gorgeous place. But yeah, it's a little sleepy there. So I went down to Los Angeles and studied studied with some players down there for a while, and then made my way to New York and played in New York and with some of the musicians there. I lived there for about 6 or 7 years almost, and then made my way further east to Paris after that.
Yeah, and that really intrigues me, and I am being mindful of the time, and I'm not going to keep you a whole lot longer. But Paris, why was the choice Paris, Kyle?
Really, I was just I was going over there and playing a lot. You know, I was living in New York, and I was going to Europe on a pretty regular basis, playing a lot, and there's a lot of great opportunities to play there. You know, some really really great jazz festivals. In France and all over Europe, really. So it was just kind of for a change, really. I moved over and started and put a band together and over there and started working with a lot of musicians in London and Paris as well. So it was really just for a change of scenery and really to take advantage of some of the opportunities to play jazz.
Well, I'm really glad, and I probably speak for many in saying this, because if you hadn't and hadn't become smitten with the array of cultures around you being in that particular environment, your music has taken on these beautiful shadings, and the world influences in your instrumentation is so fabulous and so vastly different than what we would have heard maybe had you stayed in the States. So I'm really grateful that you made that decision. I mean, I'm older than you, and it's probably not my right to say, but I'm really proud that you made that decision. Because
thank you.
You're welcome. You've opened the door, in case you didn't know this, for a lot of artists who look at you for leadership, and you are the subject of many a discussion in music circles in Baltimore and D.C. People watch you, and when you come out with a new project or you're doing something, you sort of sharpen the tools for other artists who wish to follow in a footstep that's similar to yours. That's a big deal.
Well, thank you. That's a very nice compliment. Thank you. You know, I'm just always trying to stretch myself as a musician and as a composer I try to do make music that I would like to listen to. You know, I'm just hopefully continue to keep growing really as a musician and player and writer really. So that's kind of what I'm striving for all the time, but. Hopefully, I'm getting closer.
Well, you will, because you communicate through your music. When I hear Kyle Eastwood talking, he sounds warm and he sounds engaging. But you put a lot into your music that's passionate and life fulfilling and healing. So you're always going to be that way. That's just how you're made. What are you most looking forward to? This is early in 2014. What are you excited to be able to share that's going to be happening? What would you like to see unfold for you?
Well, I'm just actually really excited to get back to playing, you know, live, because I've been in California for the last few months enjoying the hot drought weather out here.
Yes.
The hot winter. But I've just been working on doing some score for a documentary, and then for Jersey Boys, which is a film my father's just finished making. So I've been here doing that for a few months. So I haven't really been out playing live for since late last year. So I'm just looking forward to getting back out and playing with some of the guys and making some live music.
Well, I'm tickled that you're coming to Bethesda Blues and Jazz, and if folks want to hear the rest of the agenda, very simple to do. KyleEastwood.com has all the information. And let me tell you something, sir, I just want to say on behalf of the folks in Philly who spent their time in New Jersey, I'm hoping that Jersey Boys sounds right. Because we're very particular about our music.
I think it's come out well, you know. All the actors actually who are in it, or the main actors are all guys who've done it, you know, on the stage, you know, on Broadway and or London.
Great.
or you know, some of the productions, the stage productions. So they all do their own singing, and you know, it's coming out pretty well, I think.
Oh, I have no doubt. I know that that the soundtrack work that you have done through the years has been just a cut above, and I'm really happy to see that you're doing this tour and that more people can come and see you, because I will be there. It's one of the concerts I'm most looking forward to this year, because you're going to have some stellar folks. Do you want to say who's in your band, by the way, or can you?
Yeah, they're all guys out of New York that I've played with in my band or in different bands over the years that I've known since my days of living in New York. It's Rick Jermanson is playing piano, and Joe Strasser is playing drums. Jason Rigby is playing saxophones, and Alex Pope Norris is playing trumpet.
Fabulous! Wow. Well, we'll see you. It's going to be, for folks who are listening in this immediate area, March the 23rd at Bethesda Blues and Jazz. And, again, all the information is there. You can buy tickets in most of those locations when you go to KyleEastwood.com. Kyle, I know that you are on a tight little schedule. I'm going to let you go. We're going to hear at least through the course of this three-hour show of mine, we're going to hear... It's going to be WKYL today. Is that okay by you?
That sounds good.
It's going to be Kyle Eastwood all the time.
I can go with those ball letters, yeah.
Yes. Hey, someday, I'm banking on it, a full-time terrestrial radio station, a commercial station, maybe we'll call it that.
Okay. I'm down with that.
Good. Thank you for taking the time today. I appreciate you a whole lot.
Thank you, Trish. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's a pleasure talking to you. I look forward to it. See you in Bethesda.
Yes, you certainly will. Thank you. See you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Kyle Eastwood, so glad he had the time, because let me tell you something. That schedule that this man has is pretty smoking. But you know what? Let's put it to you another way. It's good to be busy, right? This is something from an album that you need to hear, honestly, The View From Here. This is a song that you hear when you go to Kyle Eastwood's website, From Rio to Havana, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Original music. Oh my God, each track is just a revelation. You don't understand. We have waited to hear Butch and Rhonda Coleman do their thing by way of CD for a few years now because they are so fabulous and warm and engaging and real to see in person. And the level of artistry is such that you just were hungering to hear these tracks. This is one of those tracks written by Rhonda Coleman and Gary Hudgens, arranged by Gary, a horn arrangement by the great Greg Boyer, who has a fabulous reputation, Rhonda on lead vocals, Butch on bass, Dennis Chambers on drums. And if I tell you nothing else about Dennis Chambers besides the fact that he is a legend in Baltimore, let me tell you that he is the drummer for Carlos Santana. I think that explains everything you need to hear. Wawa LeGrand is playing guitar. Greg Boyer on trumpet, Brad Clements on trumpet, Greg on trombone, and then Brad on trumpet. Brent Burkhead on saxophone, who is one of those saxophone players in this region, at least known in this region, but also known elsewhere, way beyond. Just everybody watching him to see what he's doing, because he's one of the many artists in this particular neighborhood, big as it is, that gets discussed a lot. I'm just thrilled for them. And look, if you are going to be anywhere near the area and you can possibly do it, go to butchandrhondacoleman.com and find out how you can get tickets for this Sunday's CD release party. It's going to be at the Patterson, which is right there in the Highland Town area. Actually, Creative Alliance is where it's going to be. It, I think, used to be called the Patterson, but it's in the Patterson Park, Highland Town area. It's one of those places that has the marquee, much like Bethesda Blues and Jazz, where Kyle Eastwood is going to be. And it's similar to a movie theater, but they've reconverted it. Very cool place to have music, and it's going to be a packed house. So I suggest you get your tickets. Here I go again. Can you relate? Stop raising your hand. I know. Night Sketches is the name of the CD, by the way. So hopefully you'll buy it and you'll be a richer person for it, because once you hear the kind of originality, authenticity, and honesty that comes from tunage like this, oh, I'm so proud. I really am. We heard, too, from Wes Montgomery from 1960, the incredible jazz guitar of Wes Montgomery, his fourth album, considered to be one of the best. If we could enumerate all the folks who have been inspired by hearing that song, 4/6, that little thumb action that he had, and those chords, It is going to be a show full of birthday folks, and Wes Montgomery's birthday is March the 6th, born in 1923, left us too soon at the age of 45 in 1968. And let me tell you this, I know that I have been dwelling on this maybe too much. I don't think it can be too much. Wes was in the height of his popularity. He was presenting jazz to audiences that would have not listened to it otherwise. He was getting some flack from the purists. We all know what that's like. But meanwhile, he was building another audience that was delving into the pop world and bringing what he knew of jazz that he loved to a bigger audience. He woke up on this particular day, said to his wife that he wasn't feeling well. And within minutes, he was gone. He had a heart attack. So it has been discussed a lot recently, and because of my friend Daoud Saeed, I can't say enough about this, because Daoud has a heart condition. He was hospitalized recently. He is also 45. Please, if you possibly can, now that Obamacare is with us, find your way to get insurance and get checked up. You are not immortal. You don't know how long you're going to live. You want to live a long time, hopefully, but you have to get some sort of maintenance for your being. You take a lot of care with your car, don't you? Well, guess what? You've got another car. It's called your body. So you need to get checked up. It's not going to go away, the pain. It's not going to go away, that nagging suspicion that there's something amiss. God gave you that little sense to make sure you got your tail to the doctor's office. Not a big fan of doctors, mind you, but I needed to tell you that. All right, smack me. Kyle Eastwood, two songs, Now. Now. The title track from a few years ago, actually mid-2000, 2005, 2006, right? And then we heard something from The View From Here, his latest, which is why he's going on tour. He's going to have a few surprises for us when he has these tour dates, make no mistake. He's all about the surprises. And he's one of these cats when he's on stage. You're going to have to see for yourself because, look, let's just talk about it. He looks like a movie star. You know who his dad is. I wasn't going to go there when I had the interview with him. Everybody asks him about Clint Eastwood. This son of Clint has been trying for years to get out of that shadow. So there was going to be no talk about the C word with Kyle. It was all about Kyle. But he looks like dad. And mom was beautiful, too. Mom is still with us, thank God, Maggie. Loved to hear about Maggie and Clint back in the day. Saw little Kyle and his sister when they were growing up because I used to get the magazines. We'll hear another track or two from Kyle as the show progresses. Let's turn our attention to more of Iris Ornig, shall we? I was feeling this song in particular because of Gabrielle Goodman's CD release party at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum last Thursday night. Oh, it was just magnificent. So Iris did this tune from No Restrictions called We Shall Meet Beyond the River. Let it allow you to drift away on Hybrid Jazz. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz. As I have just said on Facebook, I cannot be held responsible when I hear that voice, especially on certain songs like that one. You Should Be Mine, the woo-woo song. Now, if you hadn't heard the story, I'm going to tell you. I've told it a few times. I just love it so much. It was called You Should Be Mine, but this was back in the mid-80s. So Jeffrey had this young family, and his little girl said, "Daddy, could you sing the woo-woo song for me?" So he thought, you know, I'm just going to nickname it the woo-woo song. So so glad because everybody around the world knows the Woo Woo song. Jeffrey is one of those birthday people that we are going to celebrate today on Hybrid Jazz. He is going to turn 66 on March the 9th. Just so you know about that song, by the way, From Emotional, the name of the CD or LP back then, cassette, 1986. He sang this on the 17th episode of The Cosby Show. It was the show called Valentine's Day. Oh, I remember that. So nice. He's on the Soul Train cruise as we speak. And back to the song again because I'm making the song a big deal. It's just one of those, you know, when you hear a particular song and it just not doesn't take you back, it catapults you back in time. And you're feeling the same good vibe that you felt when you heard it the first time. That's priceless. And I'm not alone. It was a big song on the top 40 charts, on the AC and R&B charts. Just monumental. Love you, Jeffrey O, and you know it. Last year, he was on Hybrid Jazz close to Valentine's Day, around the same time. But, man, just a lot going on in his world. I'm waiting for him to update his website. A lot of people have updated their websites, and Jeffrey's, he's active on Twitter and on Facebook but and Instagram, but a little behind on the website. He'll change, I know. Terrence Blanchard, he's turning 52 on March the 13th, and you heard something from 2000, considered actually one of his finest efforts. Wandering Moon, the name of the project, and Luna Viajera is the name of the song. So beautiful. What he did was something so cool. On each of the tracks, he had two of three saxophonists play. Branford Marsalis, one of them, Bryce Winston, and Aaron Fletcher. On that particular song, it was Bryce and Aaron. He also had Eric Harland on drums, Dave Holland on bass, and Edward Simon on piano. Just excellent musicianship. And I don't have to tell you about Terrence Blanchard's roster of activities this year, do I? Whew, man. I don't know. I'm sure when his family sees him, they're really tickled. But those times are few and far between. He's playing with McCoy Tyner and Ravi Coltrane. He is doing the Blue Note 75 tour here and there. Just beautiful. The whole concept of Blue Note Records being in existence for 75 years, and they're going to be doing part of their celebration at the Kennedy Center in D.C. in May. We'll talk more about that. Whew, so nice. And Iris Ornig, no restrictions. We shall meet beyond the river. Iris just with us some several days ago on the show. Something that we didn't discuss, and I'm very excited about this. Iris is going to be part of the Lady Got Chops series of events in New York. If you go to womeninjazz-nyc.org, you'll find out all about it. I am so tickled by this because there are some artists of absolute renown on this roster, and if you go to that website, you'll find out all the particulars, and maybe you can attend one or two. It would just be monumental if you could. Anything that you can do to support Women in Jazz, I'm asking you, please do. This is a lady that has come to my attention. I believe that I have to credit Rick Scott for the introduction. I may be wrong about that. Let me tell you something. The CDs are coming to me fast and furiously now from different ends of the world. I love it, but I need an assistant. So that'll hopefully be coming in 2014. I just got the new Brian Culbertson CD. I'll be listening to that this weekend. Put a bookmark in those thoughts. But back to the lady of the moment. This is a pretty exemplary pianist and composer She has a lot of respect. Grew up in a small town in Central California. There you go, Beach. And her name is Lisa Hilton. She has a new CD out called Kaleidoscope. She has original material on here, but by way of introduction, I wanted to play one of those time-favored songs that people cannot hear enough. When I Fall in Love, Lisa Hilton style, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz. Nelsie, that's one of those tracks from Diane Reeves' album from 1992. So we're talking 22 years ago, right? When she does jazz, Do you know anybody like her?
Oh, my God.
And I love the fact that she's got this new CD out and that Diane, bless her heart, is very vocal about the fact that she wants folks to consider her to be all-encompassing, not just regulated to jazz. But when she does a song like Softly, as in A Morning Sunrise, I know that Oscar Hammerstein is smiling wherever he may be. Sigmund Romberg also wrote that song, one of those just effervescent classics that in the right hands, in the right gilded throat, can just take on monumental proportions, especially when you have surrounding you, this is a smattering of the talent on this I Remember project, Billy Childs, Kevin Eubanks, Mulgrew Miller, Marvin Smitty Smith. They all know that Diane is just the cherry on top of the sundae as far as jazz vocalists are concerned. I'm sorry, Diane, but you're a jazz vocalist. And I know that she's doing all the... Terry Lynn Carrington knows what she's doing, absolutely. She's the producer of Beautiful Life, Diane's new CD. And she's doing takes on R&B songs. Love that, too. But I love to hear her sing these tried and true jazz gems. And then when she goes into a creative mode where somebody writes a song that it is very much jazz flavored, oh, she just shines. Diane will be at the May 11th Kennedy Center big event for Blue Note at 75. With her will be, among others, Wayne Shorter, Cassandra Wilson, and Nora Jones. Oh, it's going to be so crazy. So keep that in mind if you maybe are a member of the Kennedy Center. Maybe you might want to become a member. Not so important as becoming a member of the Baltimore Jazz Alliance, by the way. I'm just saying. We got big things planned for you this year, so think about it. We heard Dexter Gordon, How Insensitive, the Jobim song from Sophisticated Giant. Dexter Gordon's birthday is today. Yes. 2/27/1923. Left us too soon for most of our tastes in 1990. This particular beautiful collection was recorded in 1977 after his return from Europe. Woody Shaw's on this, Bobby Hutcherson. Dexter Gordon is one of those tremendous saxophonists that was multifaceted because he could act, he was a real personality, he was long and tall, and he just commanded a presence. I remember that a couple of people told me that when he was living in Denmark, when he was playing a favorite club over there, people were just mind-blown because this was, well, in the physical sense for sure, but a larger-than-life person who was of such artistry that he got lost in that instrument. So when he played, nothing else mattered except seeing Dexter Gordon on stage. Isn't that something? Oof. To leave that kind of legacy behind and have all of these great tunes and being involved in film. I just put a video on Facebook today. What's New? Oh, which is one of those songs that you have to be in the right frame of mind because you could lose it if you're not. What's New? And he gave you a verse before he launched into the song. So when he speaks, I can imagine the ladies were crazy around him. I would have been one of them. Oh, my goodness. All right, Lisa Hilton, take a breath here, from Kaleidoscope. This is something brand new. Lisa Hilton on piano was self-taught before the age of 8. From Central California, a little small town on the coast, composer as well as working that magic on piano. What I love about her, you can tell somebody's heart her heart is in that piano, but when you know that she works so diligently and lovingly with the blind, can you feel the love in that song, When I Fall in Love? I heard it. Jazz Reviewer, actually Jazz Review, the publication, has called her the lioness of jazz. They have her reasons. One of those is that someone else has said of her that her particular maybe sex appeal is so that she's merciless, Keys. The light and the dark both are in this blonde woman. And what I think is so intriguing is that growing up where she has, she's a very outdoorsy person. She likes to take all of what is around her, like Kyle Eastwood in another direction. And she's so in love with life that that just sort of oozes at the edges of what she does. And she has a big inspiration. Her great uncle was the Dutch piano virtuoso named Willem Bloemendaal. Yes, back in the day. So she, the bloodline, once again, you can't get away from it. I really like what I've heard on Kaleidoscope, the name of the CD. So we'll delve more into Lisa in the days to come, if that's okay with you. That was something new. Then we heard from something mid-70s and then 1992. Can we go all the way back before we go forward again, please? Ornette Coleman, please. He's going to be 84 on the 9th of March. This is from 1959, Focus on Sanity, from one of those projects that back in those days was lauded as brilliance. One of the Penguin Guide to Jazz's crowns. This is how legendary this particular work is on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you. Can you count to one? That I'm alive, I'm alive. Although I'm going out on my way, just so I can pass by each day. Not a single word do we say. The pantomime and all the time, still I know all eyes are for me. How for tingles out to my feet when your smile is much too discreet to send me on my way. Now wouldn't it be better not to be so polite? Well, you could offer a light. You start a little conversation, now it's alright when you say goodbye. Busy day and take the time out to see, girl, that I'm alive. So I'm going out of my way just so I can pass by each day. Not a single word do we say. It's a pantomime and lots of times. Still I know while I die for me. Half a tingles down to my feet. When you're smiling, much too discreet, it's suddenly gone away. Wouldn't it be better not to be so polite? Princess and mama, you know that you could offer me a light. Start a little conversation now, it's all right. Will you say bye? Go where do we say? Just a pantomime and out of time. Still I know what I thought for me. Apple tingles down to my feet. When your smackers went too discreet, it's sending me gone my way. Well, baby, just don't say I'm on it. Please do not stare. You could offer your hand. Hugging and a chugging, it could be all so fast. Take five. Come take
Get on your
He's a fry short of a happy meal, isn't he? Al Jarreau, if you want it. Oh, something else from 1977. I've been taking you back and forth today, I know, but it's just so much fun, especially since the sun is shining in Baltimore. The music has just seemed to go along with the weather. I know there's more snow coming, but I'm going to savor this moment right now. Hopefully, wherever you are savoring. Just be grateful that you woke up this morning and you are breathing. You know? Take five, the Paul Desmond classic right there from Look to the Rainbow, live in Europe. You could tell, couldn't you? Some excellent people on here on vibes. Lynn Blessing on bass, Abe Laboreal on drums, Joe Carrero, and more. Al has a birthday coming up. We've been focusing on some birthdays of note. Man, we've got a passel of them. Beloveds in March. Al's going to be 74 on the 12th of March. Yep. And he is taking his sometimes tired tail on the road. He has energy to spare sometimes, but he had that situation a couple of years ago, if you remember, where his heart was not acting right. And I'm reminded of that because I'm going through that with someone else that I know. This AFib situation where your heart is not beating regularly and it skips beats, it can cause havoc on how you feel. So Al is getting that closely monitored, and he's going to be at the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival. Yes, he is. Also in Austin, Tim Armstrong, take note, and Hawaii. He's going from Texas to Hawaii. That's some kind of culture shock right there. And then back at Playboy Jazz, where he belongs each and every summer. Nice to see he's doing his tour thing. Just so remarkable when you see Al. But here's the thing that hurts. I'm used to seeing Al Jarreau with George Duke. You know? So seeing him next time is going to really be interesting. And I know Al thinks about that all the time. Oh, all the time. Shannon, that's for you if you're listening, baby, today. We're going to be hearing from some other folks this hour. Thanks again to Kyle Eastwood for dropping by and spending some 20, 25 minutes with us. I was talking to him a little bit behind the scenes before the show, so I knew that his schedule was kind of tight. He's just about, seriously, to go into packing the last of the suitcase mode and taking the tour on the road. And he is not finished working with Dad on the Jersey Boys soundtrack. I was a little reticent about saying the name of the soundtrack, but there it's out in the open. He can say it, so I will. Jersey Boys. Clint Eastwood and Kyle Eastwood working on that. My breath just goes out of my system because having seen Jersey Boys on the stage, knowing how huge that show was, so people's expectations are high. So I hope that the West Coast mentality infiltrates the mindset of Philly and New Jersey to create the right kind of mood for the soundtrack. You know what I mean? Yeah. We heard Warren Wolf, bless his heart, from Wolfgang, that was just released last year. Speaking of vibraphonists, Things Were Done Yesterday. That was Warren's composition. I'm going over to his liner notes right now because I know he would want me to tell you who was on that particular track. He's got some incredible people that worked with him. Folks that he tours with, including Aaron Deal. Yes, if you go to warrenwolf.com, you'll learn more about that. That is some kind of pairing, I'm telling you. Also, Christian McBride was on bass on that track. Benny Green on piano, and Warren doing his vibes, and he also plays marimba on this CD as well. Warren's got one of those crazy schedules too. Love to see it. He's going to be part of the, and has been, the San Francisco Jazz Collective. He prepared a while for that. Also planning to be at the Newport Jazz Festival, and he is working in conjunction with Jazz at Lincoln Center in Mexico City. That is so awesome. Hopefully, I'll get a chance to see him play out soon. I know that his good friend Tim Green is going to be at Jazzway 6004 coming up in the next few weeks. Cannot miss that. Quite a venue. That's Marianne's venue. Marianne is one of these amazing people in Baltimore. Not only does she work for the government in a highly, shall we say, competitive arena. She's got a fabulous job with the government, but she's also a vocalist of wondrous respect in the region. And she's got a venue that she shares with her husband, Howard, that is their house, actually, Marianne Matheny Katz. And she has these amazing jazz individuals that come and play there. It looks like a Frank Lloyd Wright design. So the smaller, intimate arena, shall we say, it's not an arena, but I'm just using that word, you walk up the steps to this beautifully lit house, and then there is a bar, and then next to the bar, there's an area for the stage, and there's seats that they set up, and then they have great desserts and little things to eat afterwards that Marianne prepares. It's amazing. This is part of the charm of living in Baltimore. Hence, this is why we call it Charm City. So, I digress. Warren Wolf and Wolfgang, Things Were Done Today, the name of that song. Ornette Coleman from 1959, Focus on Sanity. From The Shape of Jazz to Come, which was one of those radical departures for jazz heads used to continuity and rules in jazz. It helped to define the terminology of free jazz. And then there was avant-garde jazz, but Ornette, he didn't care about any of that. He just wanted to play what he heard in his head. Don Cherry on cornet, Charlie Hayden on bass, Billy Higgins on drums, and Ornette Coleman doing whatever the heck he wanted to do on a saxophone. Whew, something else. 84, once again, on March the 9th. So glad he's still with us. Man, that was his third album, by the way. And maybe if the heavens allow, we'll be able to talk to Ornette Coleman one of these days. I'm not sure what kind of shape he's in, but he knew what the shape of jazz was to come. David Buck, let's turn our attention to him on keyboard. This particular album is doing so well, can't even say. Other World is the name of it, from the D.C. area, plays a lot in Baltimore, playing at Phase 10, I believe, on the 7th of March, so that's coming up. This is a track called Layer of My Heart. We're not done with February yet. It's still Valentine's Day extended. Here he is on Hybrid Jazz on keyboard. Thank you. The coolest little vibe that you have heard. Woo! And he is such a cutie pie. Young Devin Spear, based in Falls Church, Virginia, session guitarist and producer and composer. That, ladies and gentlemen, is his first single called Lullaby. He wanted to write something for a very special person so that the person could be induced into some sort of relaxation, eventually into sleep. So we called it Lullaby. So precious. We first heard about Devin because he has worked in conjunction with Matthew Schell, who is so active in letting folks know what's going on as far as Matthew's production is concerned. Matthew is also young and very well respected as a producer. So Devin and Matthew have collaborated. Actually, Matthew was the co-producer of that track. And we are guaranteed a CD coming, so I want to hear more of that kind of, I don't even know what to call it. It certainly is reminiscent of some folks that I've heard, but yet it sounds so new. And it's not what you would necessarily call jazz, but within the context of what we do on this show, it just fits so well, especially after this Shirley Scott trio. Man, I love that take. She is the queen of the organ. She is no longer with us, God rest her soul, but Whew, does her music linger. So beautiful. From 1964, this was the second project that Shirley did that was called Great Scott! Exclamation point. A few of them, actually. This one from 1964, Make Someone Happy, a classic for you. Beautiful arrangement, as only a woman from Philadelphia could possibly do, right? She loved Jimmy Smith when she was coming up, and she just honed in on that organ and made it her own. Birthday, we celebrate it on the 14th of March, and she also passed away in the month of March on the 10th in 2002. Yeah. One of those situations I know I've discussed before, but, you know, we all have to be careful about what we take in our life. In Shirley's case, it was Fen-Phen. I have to say that I took that, too, back in Nashville, but I think she took the earlier version of it, and it affected her heart. So before she left us, she had a lawsuit that was resolved in her favor, but she didn't last too much longer after that. But, man, when she was here, did she put out some music? Oh, when she teamed up with Bob Cranshaw on bass, Otis Finch on drums, times were good. Phew! Did some work, a lot of work, actually, with Stanley Turrentine, her ex-husband. And when they were married, they were cranking out some tunes. But Shirley just got to be one of those individuals. She had come back to Philadelphia and helped a lot of people find their way in music. That's why I love her, because she's got a lot of that love in her heart, too. You can always tell. You can, just like when folks turn out records with somebody's name in the title, there's just an extra measure of love in it. David Bach from Other World, Layer of My Heart. Beautiful work. Find out about him, please, from davidbachmusic.com. He's going to be at a lot of different functions this year. You know, he's widely received at these, the snootier events, the Reston Town Center and Wine Festival, the Great Grapes Festival at Oregon Ridge. He just is wildly popular at these neighborhood events where they want jazz, but they want someone who's got that classical influence as well. And when he plays, he's just on fire. You have to see David Bach at the keyboard. He's something else. And we've said it before, we'll say it again. No stranger, talking about Bloodlines once again, Johann Sebastian Bach. Yes. Yes. That's where David gets it. I'm not kidding. That's a forebearer, an ancestor. And it's no surprise when you see and hear David play. We've got a few more tunes. And I wanted to play this. We always have Beej in mind because she's my faithful Southern California gal. I'm saying some prayers for you, California. I know that Governor Brown just threw his hat into the reelection bid, and I know that he's doing what he can. I know that you folks are going to meet in Sacramento to figure out what to do about this drought. I'm praying for rain. Can we please get our close to the earth red brothers and sisters, I'm not kidding, and especially my friends in the Cherokee and Lakota Sioux world, to band together to do some sort of prayer for rain in Southern California. Because folks are in some need, and I hate to see my beloved state suffer. T and I want to take a little tour if we possibly can this summer. If God is good, we'll be able to go. God is good, I know, all the time, but if he wants us to do it, he will. But I want to see that California is healthy. So help us all with a prayer or good wishes, whatever you choose to do. Let's turn our attention to Kyle Eastwood again. Can we please? I wanted to play this for my Bride of Funkenstein in the chat room. This is back again from now, from 2006 or so. It's the Sting song, Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic, on Hyper Jazz.
I have tried before to tell her all the feeling I've for her.
Thank you.
This is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Few more cigarettes now, honey, one more jolt of jolt. A couple of hours past New York City, a few more turnpike homes. One more minute away from you is a minute that will last too long. When I get back, we're gonna lock the door, babe, disconnect the phone. We could use a week to get reacquainted, time to feel it out. But leave your small talk back at home, babe. This ain't what that's about. Just to read my lips. Yes, I think you care. Just to read my lips. And you'll understand. Well, I can see it in your eyes now, honey. Cause I've seen it in myself. You got a few old scars. That ancient history bit. That was someone else. Well, I can tell you that you're wrong. Your right to be afraid. But how can you pull back on me now? Make that big mistake. Well, you can give it up, or you can just give in. Now it's a choice between the two. But you aren't born knowing yesterday, babe. I wasn't born a fool, just to read my lips.
Now see, this is the cool part about having a show that you can do with nobody looking over your shoulder, because nobody is going to tell you that you can't play certain tracks within the mix. You know what I say to that? Oh, you don't want me to say it. Listen, back in the day when yours truly was doing country radio and then alternative country radio, or Americana, if you will, I preferred alternative country because that way it was the line of demarcation from, yeah, this is not mainstream, this is left of center country. Mary Chapin Carpenter got played all the way through that experience when she first came out till I left the genre. She is one of those shining lights in anything that she attempts. She just breathes life into composition. She has a different way of looking at things. She is one of those women that can't get away from the fact that they have more than a modicum of class. So her consciousness is raised. She's highly evolved, and she's very sensitive to those around her who are not as blessed and or fortunate. She is just monumentally talented, and this just came to my attention. I mean, I've known her work for years, and that is years old. Read My Lips from State of the Heart, one of the cooler albums you'll ever pick up. I just found out via her Facebook page that she is doing this amazing scenario with the New York Philharmonic tomorrow night through March the 1st. She's not alone. Sean Colvin will be with her, Jerry Douglas, Tiff Merritt, Joan Baez, and more. And then I find out when I go to her about page, see, I haven't been keeping up with her, that she has done a project, Songs from the Movie, with orchestral reworkings of classic Mary Chapin Carpenter compositions. So she collaborated with the great composer and arranger Vince Mendoza, who will be with her at these set of performances in the next few days. Matt Rawlings will be there, who I've known in Nashville circles for years. She has done some monumental work in her life, but my friend Shannon, second reference to Shannon West today, has told me that this is exhilarating. So please go to MaryChapinCarpenter.com and find out what is going on if you possibly can get to New York. This is going to be music that will carry you through your life. I'm not kidding you. What she has done as far as composing is concerned and the thoughtful care that she takes into each and every one of her songs, she is at least a cerebral activist. She's one of these people that you're not going to know what really she has done behind the scenes because she doesn't boast about the good works that she has done through the years. So much of her tone is of an activist nature. Just, I'll tell you that ahead of time. Can't say enough about her. I'm just excited for her. Oh, bless her heart. Mary Chapin Carpenter, read my lips. Teresa Grayson, we heard from, saxophonist, educator, who is studying still, has her master's, not content with that, going for her doctorate. She wants to be Dr. Grayson. She did From Live to Love, which is new as of last year, a John Legend song, Tonight, Best You'll Ever Have, which goes together really well with Read My Lips. Therese is going to be part of a Black History Month fundraiser tomorrow night in Houston. TeresaGrayson.com has more information. I invite you to go so you can find out more about this scintillating, beautiful, exquisite lady. In every sense of the word, she is a lady. The way she dresses, the way she speaks, the way she conducts herself, her music. I just love her. She was on Hybrid Jazz a few months ago. She's always welcome back. And what else? Oh, Kyle Eastwood from Nell. Every little thing she does is magic. So happy to have had Kyle, if just for a little while, on the show. And I thought it might be a really good idea to close the show just a tad early today. I've got to pick up T and his friend and do some mom stuff. So closing up a little bit early, but I want you to hear another track from Kyle Eastwood's The View from Here, just to give you a feel of one other side of him and his beautiful work. And let me tell you who's playing with him on this track. I want to go back to notes and give credit where credit is due. Andrew McCormick on piano, Graham Blevins on sax, Quentin Collins on trumpet, and Martin Kane on drums, and of course Kyle on bass. This is called The Promise on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. so beautiful. Oh, my gosh. Look, the view from here is just masterful. And if you get a chance to see Kyle Eastwood while he's doing his tour, please do, because he's been spending this time with Dad working on the soundtrack for the past few months. But then he's going to go back to France, which is where he lives. He's got a beautiful fiance, and he loves the country and the people and the vibe there. So it's not that he tours a whole lot. If we get him to do that once a year, that's phenomenal. For him to come to Bethesda Blues and Jazz, that's a very big deal. So I'm tickled that I'll have the opportunity. And I'm going to tell you this, so wild. Listen, back-to-back with Kyle, he's playing the 23rd of March. On the 22nd, Bobby Caldwell will be there doing a special Frank Sinatra-themed show. Can I tell you how excited I am? Because if anybody has the right to sing Sinatra, it's Bobby Caldwell. He takes on the persona. He's done this as far as acting is concerned, so he knows whereof he speaks and sings. It's going to be monumental. And, by the way, Verano is going to be playing at Blues Alley tonight, I believe. Go to veranomusic.com. Speaking of Bethesda Blues and Jazz, Micah Chevalier is going to be there coming up in the month of March as well. So check out the calendar, BethesdaBluesJazz.com. You'll be seeing an event page for Kyle coming up on Facebook, so be mindful of that. First, I want to tell you what's happening for next week. We're going to close up just a little bit early today. Butch and Rhonda Coleman will be with us to start off March on the 4th. Closely on the heels of their very much anticipated successful, I know it will be this Sunday, CD release party at the Creative Alliance. It's going to be fabulous. Also, next week, keep in mind this, that we're not going to have a show next Thursday. It will be next Friday so that we can accommodate instructor and guitarist extraordinaire Arnold Strickland. Looking forward to this. Get ready for this guitar work. Honey Chow! Then we have on the 11th, Dante Winslow. Winslow Dynasty. Oh, yes. Before he starts his tour with Justin Timberlake, he's got a CD release party in the Baltimore area. We're going to hear all about it. Joshua Breakstone on the 13th. Just so you keep abreast of these things, Joshua's got some new work out, and he's got some dates coming up. The joint is jumping as far as jazz is concerned. Let me tell you about this individual right here, Daoud Saeed, playing on this outro music. Daoud has had a heart attack. If you would keep him in prayer, that's good. I just want to tell you about the artistry of this individual. He is the most fabulous keyboardist I know because his whole life revolves around the keyboard. He is passionately involved with his instrumentation as a general rule. He has learned how to play sax and bass. This gentleman I can't say enough about, and word will get to him that I've said all this about him. He's phenomenal. If you get a chance to see him, please do, and keep him in your prayers and good thoughts, will you? Thank you so much. God bless you, Beach. God bless everybody listening today to Hybrid Jazz. And God bless Kyle Eastwood for spending some time. We'll see you soon. Next Tuesday, God willing. Thank you so much, and be safe on Hybrid Jazz.